I'd say this is Connect the Dots radio show. It sure is. And every Saturday, I connect the dots, and you have the opportunity to connect the dots, too. The call-in number here is 888-627-6008. That's right. You can call in and give your 2 cents and connect the dots. And I was just listening to the people before me whom were talking or interviewing people that have had personal interactions with ETs, extraterrestrials, greys, beings from other worlds. Yes, it's real. It happens all the time. We've seen it in science fiction movies for over 50 years, and now all the people are coming out and their stories about personal meetings are being received more favorably. Yes, we don't know how many thousands or maybe millions of extraterrestrials are moving about on our world. Some of them are shapeshifters. They can disappear in a second. Other ones make themselves visible, and other ones we just telepathically communicate with without seeing them. All of it's true. I know, because I've had telepathic communication myself with invisible personalities, invisible beings. That is a word that describes an identity of something that exists but can't be seen. We can refer it to it or he or she as a personality. Yes, on a spiritual, non-physical level, all of us are personalities, and it's the one part of you that never changes as you go through life, from this world and into the afterlife. Your personality stays the same. I've come across the information where there's over 500 different types of bodies you can move in and out to in regards to the evolution of being a human being. And that's all very interesting information. But while I'm still on the topic of what was discussed in the last show, where they were, the one guy mentioned an incident, something, I forget the exact date, somewhere in the 80s, two Russian satellites that were traveled over to where Mars is were apparently destroyed, whether the speculation goes whether it was intentional, something, somebody had a visual somehow, whether it was telepathic or they just envisioned it somehow with their abilities, that there was, perhaps if I remember correctly, a cigar-shaped glowing thing in the sky above Mars, in the atmosphere above Mars, or the area above Mars where one of the two moons was, and the two craft from Russia came by, and a burst of energy was seen destroying these two craft. Now, my take on this is, because I'm a realist, I know there's a lot of evil and bad out there, and I've heard pretty much most of the stories. And I particularly, it's quite fresh in my mind about the secret bases on Mars, which information, there's a lot of details that have come out about these secret bases on Mars. And we know there's a big conspiracy by our government, probably other governments too, that the real info about Mars is to be kept secret. Plenty of science fiction movies talking about these type of things, but if you're living in America. And you know, you're familiar with your American government. We know that our government lies to us continuously. Certainly heavy liars since World War II. And they want to keep their secret projects to themselves, at least the military, secret military units want to do that. And they keep the secret technologies to themselves, too. All the ETs and other life forms in the universe have access to these technologies, and we're deprived of them as regular people on Earth. That's the sick type of governments we have here. And they are definitely controlled by evil, because that's evil likes to do things like that. They like to keep control, and they like to cheat good people out of good things. So anyhow, that's my take. The Russian craft could have spotted something. They were worried about being discovered, the secret projects. So somebody made a decision, yeah, let's just get rid of these things, because we don't want two tiny little Russian spacecraft spoiling our secret party on Mars and all the bad things we're doing up there. And that's my real take on the situation. You know, prove me wrong, whatever. But that's my take on it. And I don't put anything past evil entities and hostile ETs from doing things like that. So, I can change direction on the dime, as I always say. And, hey, let me just jump back. The call-in number is 888-627-6008. In fact, the spiritually awakened host of the last show, hey, if you're listening, call in. The conversation will go completely different than you had with your guests, because I've got plenty to say, and I've got plenty of knowledge, and we'll just have a conversation back and forth, and it'll be totally different, because I'm an instantaneous person. It doesn't matter what you say, I'll have something to say immediately, and I'm knowledgeable enough to talk about just anything. And I've had my share of experiences with ET life forms, more like telepathically, and more witnessing the things that they were doing and the portals they opened. And unlike the guys in the last show, the portals I've seen opened, it's a whole different mechanism. And it's set up differently every time. It uses sparkling points of light, which I have some well-drawn pictures of in my book, Connect the Dots Theory. That's how the whole thing started for me. I was out in the wilderness, and boy, I stepped into something amazing, and I've gone through similar things. I know how to track these things down now and find them, but the setup to go from who's ever setting it up, who float their spacecraft in the sky that can be seen, apparently not by radar, but if you're there and you have the equipment to look up into the sky, they are there at these certain events, and they're multi or interdimensional doorway is always set up with sparkling points of light, marking perimeters or geometric shapes and their correlates. But as I was saying, I was going to change the scope of talk to something like love. Yes, love, the most powerful force in the universe. Love can make it better. Projecting love will gather love. I have a lot of experience with loving life. And I've met a lot of loving people. And the more you interact with loving people, the more loving you become. And it's easy to be loving. In fact, I wrote a song about that. It's easy. It's on my my latest CD, Songs Better Than Dylan, and they are. You might be saying, you got your nerves saying that. Well, I'm bold enough to say it because I got the songs to back me up on that, and that's why I called it that. I call it the largest collection of philosophical songs ever put on one CD. And you can purchase it by getting contact info from my BBS radio profile, mailing me $10 for it, or do it through PayPal by clicking on the donate button on my 2016 presidential website that can be accessed through the radio station. That's right, I ran for president in 2016, just like I'm doing again with this show. I'm running for president in 2020, claiming to be the most qualified person ever to run for president of the United States and to be the president of the United States, because my knowledge exceeds anybody who ever ran for president of the United States. Even Obama, who was part of the Mars transfer program, what does he know but what they told you, or told him, rather? In my life, I've done my own investigations. I've done a million trials and error, and I've ventured deeply into many things. And I claim to be the most qualified because the amount of experience I've experienced in his single life exceeds that of 10 to 20 regular lives that regular people have the opportunity to experience. And I'm including the people that work on the secret projects, because actually they have limited experience because they're stuck in the secret project. Meanwhile, I'm free as a bird, and I've been that way since a child, and I just go from here to there, and I change my direction all the time, and I'll go to 20 different places in one day because that's the kind of person I am. Well, let me take the conversation back to love. In fact, if anybody wants to talk about love, call up. I don't always talk about government conspiracies and running for president or things like that. But I have to let people know I am the most qualified person to be the president of the United States because I know how to make decisions instantly. There's never any doubt in my mind. It's like that teaching of Jesus. You don't have to worry about what you're going to say. The information will be there when you start to speak. It's really that easy when you get connected to that degree with the universe. And I have a lot of knowledge to draw on. Plus, I invented a formula that helps me address and solve any problem. Nobody else has those qualifications. Plus, I know how to take command of any situation. You know, President Trump's having a rough time now. Believe me, if I was in his seat right now, I would be having such a fun time because I know how to take command of the situation. Doesn't matter what anybody says to me. Doesn't matter what any kind of stupid little trick they pull. When you know how to deal with situations, you know, and you have a lot of experience, and I do in life, dealing with situations, dealing with some of the most difficult people in the world, which are the street people, the common street people. It's no problem dealing with people of Congress. Come on, as the saying goes, that's a cakewalk. You know, that's like robbing candy from the baby. Those people would be sorry if they ever said anything negative to me, because I chew them up and spit them out like yesterday's, I don't know what, vegetables or something. But when you're really qualified, the President of the United States is the easiest job in the world. If you don't see it like that, well, you shouldn't be the President, you know? I think President Trump is giving it his best shot, but like I said, if I was the president now, I'd have all the problems being solved already. People would have good health care, real health care. Nobody has really talking a real conversation about health care. Nobody, except me, because I understand what health care is. It's not what the doctors tell you. It's not what the pharmaceutical companies tell you. And it takes a lot to learn what makes a human body tick. You know, I started young as a teenager, learning about vitamin C. And it went on from there. And now I know a lot about a lot of things. Plus, I know that, you know, your breath is half your life force. Whoever talks about that, but it's known. And I could go on and on about that. But these are important times in the history of mankind, and it's probably more important things to talk about right now, and that's the purpose of this show. It's educational, and it's letting people know that there are people running for office who have the good intentions in mind to serve the people that they could be elected to serve. I believe the statement that the master of all has to be the servant of all. You want to be the leader of everybody? Well, you have to be the servant of everyone. And I learned in life how to do that. It's really quite easy, you know? Some people just don't have a grasp for it, but I learned how to do that at an early age, and I had a lot of experiences dealing in the business world with taking care of clients and taking care of large customer bases. We're talking maybe 400, 500 people a week that you had to take care of and manage and do it all on your own. So I have plenty of experience in life. Solving problems, I became really good at solving problems. No problem in solving problems for me, I'll tell you that. But let me go back to love. Let me give everybody listening a little history, a little American history, a little world history here. We can start around the time of Jesus. It's a good place to start. His mission was to reveal to the world the loving nature of the real God, and to set people in the right direction, because before that, people were they had suffered through the bad behavior of the false gods for hundreds of thousands of years who ruled over our world, and the false god doctrines had been slipped into the religions to where God was still thought of as a jealous and vengeful God, which is not the real God. So he was up against a lot there. But he did his best to tell mankind about the loving nature of God. And if you take the time to read his statements or teachings, you'll find that is true. But let's move up a little further now in time. Let's say to the 20th century. And it's a moment in time that I recognize that this was probably one of the most monumental love experiences that the human race got to experience. Much more love exchange than when Jesus was walking the earth, because he had a small group and following. Sure, he won the people over that met him personally, but he was dealing with a small crowd. Now let's go to 1963-64. The Beatles changed the world without even trying, and it was the love that they projected and the love that people had for them simply by the music they played and their outgoing personalities. They changed the world without even trying. And they set up a new paradigm of thinking that still exists today. Plus, they changed the music world forever. And we all need to be reminded that that happened. And, of course, they gave that momentous first big concert, pop music concert of all times, at that once famous stadium, now tore down, called Shea Stadium. And if you ever talk to anybody that was at the show, they'll tell you that the amount of love and emotion outpoured at that event sizzled the air like electric wires, high tension wires sizzle if you stand below them. But an extremely loud sizzle. And that the emotions of love that filled the air through that one concert alone, it was like God had come to earth and we were all in ecstatic behavior. Don't take my word for it. Talk to some people that were there if you can find them. You know, that was a long time ago, but that's important moment. Those are important moments of love that existed 1963, 1964, and a couple of years after that. Yeah, sure, the famous Summer of Love, 1967, except what the Beatles did in 64, 3 and 4 and 5, that was worldwide love, beyond any Summer of Love. And they weren't even trying to do that. They were just trying to be out and be good entertainers and have a good time. And they succeeded at that. But they brought love into the world on a magnitude that has never since been equaled. And I don't care what you say. That's my opinion on it. So here we are today. In the 21st century, there are a lot of people talking about finding God within yourself, love yourself, working on your behavior so that you're a loving and giving person. And these are all important things. And from what I hear, because I listen to a lot of people and a lot of opinions, that the good aliens, the good ETs that are interacting with our world right now are basically waiting for us, the human race, to evolve, which is nice to hear, but I'm a realist when I look around. Many more people are evolving spiritually using meditation, yoga, or whatever. You don't need to really use meditation and yoga to evolve spiritually. You can just do it by desiring to and keeping track of what you're doing and staying on course. You don't have to go to school to learn how to be a good person, really. You can teach yourself. But anyhow, I'm a realist, and I look around because I'm out there interacting with the general public every day, ride the transit system. And human race is still in bad shape, let me tell you. I think there's a lot more loving people out there, but the dark side is acting up again. Just look at the news last week, and there's just a lot of ignorant people, or shall we call them sheeple out there, that people that have been turned into sheeple by the negative governments of the world and the world-controlled egomaniacs and the ETs working with the world-controlled egomaniacs. And of course, if you watch a lot of science fiction movies, starting with the ones in the 1950s going on, the message is usually the same. The ETs are here to take over our world, and they have no use for us except for maybe a little slave labor or slave trade with other realms of creatures, but or to experiment on us, or to make hybrids with our DNA and their DNA. And that's all they're here for, really, most of them. There are good ones that they're here now. They're monitoring the situation because it's time for the Earth to evolve, and it's time for those humans who are ready to evolve with it. But I look around, there's too many common people out there that just, they're not aware of what's being played out right now, and they don't have their lives too well in order in how they think and do, go about their business. And there's seems to be just as many evil people around as always. In fact, I think evil's on an increase right now because there's a war going on, a spiritual war between good and evil. And there's also the other physical wars for power, land, control, profit, and all that other nonsense that we've all been subjected to for forever here on Earth, because unfortunately, evil took root here a long time ago, and they're still here, and they're still controlling the world, and now they're going in for the kill. And I've talked about this before, and it's time we have to look at it, you know. Let's put love aside for a few minutes here and understand, hey, we're the bad guys are declaring war on us. They're poisoning our atmosphere. They're poisoning our Earth, which will eventually kill many of us, certainly make us sick. And the people that are supposed to be watching out for us, called government, have turned a blind eye to all this. It's just like the science fiction movies. The people in high places and key positions of power are all being mind-controlled, whether it's the chip implanted in the back of their neck, the chip to be implanted in their forehead, or just simple telepathic subliminal suggestions. I talk about all these things in my book, Connect the Dots Theory. It's one of the most informative books ever put together. It's written in plain English. Anybody with a high school education can understand it. And it's an educational book. It introduces you to the multidimensional reality by using easy-to-understand words. In fact, I've coined some new phrases in it. Like I said, it's educational. I refer to the other dimensions as the other zones of reality. Because I don't particularly like that word dimension, because there's always confusion with measurements. You know, length, width, height, those are dimensions too. Well, I'm against words having double and triple meanings for that reason, because it causes confusion. And so when I say zones of reality, well, now it's pretty more definite, you know? Like, we're living in a physical zone, and there are non-physical zones, sometimes referred to as the spiritual realms. Of course, spirit beings can go back and forth from physical to non-physical and vice versa. Well, the chemtrails are probably the worst thing out there now. And if you're listening to my voice, it's important that you become a teacher, a listener. You're a listener to this radio show. You can become a teacher as early as tomorrow, because this message of chemtrails poisoning everybody and government not willing to do anything about it. Our lives are at stake here. We have to save ourselves. I've said in past shows, everybody tweet the President of the United States to sign an executive order to stop the chemtrails. That's the easy way to bring this to an end fast. But does President Trump read his tweets? I don't know. It's just an idea. School starting. Anyone listening to the show, you have children. No people have children. We need to get the school children involved with this. They like doing things like tweet the president. Hopefully the person who reads the tweets, I don't believe the president has time to read all the tweets, will let them know, hey, I'm getting all these requests for you to sign an executive order to end the chemtrails, because this is killing us. Every day we wait, we're all getting sicker. And these are some nasty things that are not easy to fix once they get inside your body. The nanoparticles of poisonous metals that are poisonous to our system and poisonous to all life forms on Earth. This is insanity that's going on, but we have to make an attempt to save ourselves because no one is going to do it for us. And there's the no interference clause from that the good ETs obey. Of course, the bad ETs do whatever they want. You know, they don't think nothing about spraying poison on stupid earthlings because we're only good for slave labor and maybe genetic material. That's why all the governments in the world are going to artificial intelligence, because all the governments of the world are under the control of the ETs, who really don't want us. They don't like us. In fact, bad ETs hate us because they're so jealous that we know how to have fun and have a good time, and they don't know anything about that. Their idea of a good time is butchering people to death. Well, that's not really good times. That's sick behavior. So it's important, you know, like I said, things are coming. School is starting. We need to get as many people working to save the human race as possible. And if you're a teacher, you know any teachers, take command of your class and get them to write letters to the president. You know, it's a good history lesson. It's a good lesson in democracy to write letters to the president asking him to sign an executive order to stop the chemtrail planes that are poisoning us. If he gets enough attention, especially from school children, I believe he'll do something. But unfortunately, President Trump is over his head in problems because all the bad guys hate him because he doesn't want to kiss their butt. That's it. That's about as simple as we can put it. I don't have to explain that any further. So I'm appealing to who's ever listening out there that it's up to us, the regular people, to start taking command of the situation now, because government is asleep at the wheel. They've been overly bribed to do nothing, and they're going to do what their bribing lobbyists tell them to do, because that's the way the rigged system is played out. And, of course, fake news media is in on it now, too. That's all controlled by the world controllers. And that's what they think of you. You're just some pawn they want to manipulate around and lie to and deceive and take your money with 1,001 scam plans. Now, let me just jump off that subject for a minute because I have the ability to do that. And remind everybody that the burden of proof lies equally on those who just want to discredit something. Now, I'm a very observant person, and by observing things in this world, you learn a lot. Take the time to observe, because there are things happening all the time that come by in the twinkling of an eye. And if you're not paying attention, you're going to miss them. And I always like, nowadays you see these, I don't know what we want to call them, grandstanding politicians or so-called knowledgeable people that really don't know anything. They're just paid by the news networks to get up there and pretend to know something. And they blab on about what this person did and what that person didn't do and what they think that person should do. We know who they are. They're on all the news networks. Well, they always seem to be standing in front of a picture of the city that they're supposed to be talking from. And I take notice of what's in the background with the cities. I always notice when there's buildings with pyramids, because those can be turned into weapons. Yes, anything with a pyramid on it can be turned into a weapon. It can be used for good things too, but I know what an evil, controlled world we're living in. And a lot of them, more of these pyramids have been appearing on buildings in different towns. And they just happen to have this guy talking from Cleveland. And all of a sudden, I'm connecting the dots. So I see three things there that, used in unison, can be used to cause something bad to happen. It was one building had a pyramid. Another one close by had a step pyramid, kind of like Mayan steps, you know, like the Mayan pyramids had the steps. And then, below them, not far away, there was some kind of structure with a dome on it. Now, I don't know exactly how these three structures can be used in a bad way, but I know they can be used. And 9/11 event in New York is the proof. If you take the time to look at the area right around where the trade centers were brought down, you'll see three buildings all made from the same identical blocks, obviously made by the same construction company. One of them has a pyramid on top. One of them has a step-type pyramid. One of them actually has a truncated pyramid with, like, the top of the pyramid cut off. And then there's another one with a dome. So it actually has four buildings. Well, I saw three of those in Cleveland, real close together, just like they have them in downtown Manhattan. And because I study multidimensional physics and I understand that shapes can be used to project energies and focus energies, I just inherently know that those buildings in downtown Manhattan were used to help orchestrate the event that brought the buildings down. Now, we know there was demolition in the buildings, but demolitions alone would not bring the buildings down to free fall. You had to have a lot of other types of energy beams focused on those buildings to pulverize the material to where it almost disintegrates. And then there is a free fall type situation. There's no resistance. So they're obviously planning on doing something bad in Cleveland. People be warned. This is how you spot bad things. You need to gain an understanding of geometry, the shapes, how different shapes affect energy and can be used to manipulate energy. And then you spot trouble coming. And right now, New York's a dangerous place. I mean, New York City's a dangerous place for a lot of different reasons, but they still got those four identical type buildings in downtown Manhattan, And what's the new big building you have down there? Freedom Tower. Yeah, well, if you take a close look, and if you're listening to my voice, take the time to look at that building. It's got all kinds of triangular and cube and octagon shapes. And it's a box within a box. And the bottom support structure is a perfect cube, which is a multidimensional shape, one of the five platonic solids. You know, you need to, concerned people need to find out about this information. You know, the cube, like the Star Trek, the Borg, travel around in the cube. Well, when you have a multidimensional shape like that, you can focus an unlimited amount of energy from every zone of reality in the universe, or every dimension, if you prefer that term, in the universe, which means you have a ticking energy time bomb in that building there. It can be used as an energy weapon. The building as it sits now might be the most powerful energy weapon ever constructed on the Earth, and it's not hasn't been put there for your benefit. It's been put there to get rid of a lot of people in a short amount of time. And people ought to be looking into that, because when they turn that building on to do what it's been planning to do with it, millions of people will die instantly. This is the world we're living in. And I know it sounds doomsday, but it's real. And they're just not ready to do it yet, but when the command is given, I don't want to be anywhere around here. In fact, I'm looking into it now. I mean, I'm a New York City resident, but I'm looking to move before it happens, because I know if I'm within range of that building, my goose is cooked, as the saying goes, because I'm a knowledgeable person, and I know what you can do with energy and shapes. But let's just switch the whole thing back to love and goodness, and we'll combine it with a little science. Most people don't realize if you're making it, that you can take a piece of cardboard, make a pyramid, kind of closely resembling the Great Pyramid. You cut out four triangles, taped them together, and you can put fruit, let's say a banana, something that goes bad real fast. You can put a banana on there, it'll last for weeks. You can maybe even, it'll go for 2 months. You can pick that piece of cardboard up and eat that banana. It won't be rotten inside. That's the power of a pyramidal shape. It's a great project for school children. And if you're a teacher, boy, you can really give your kids, your students, an education just from what you learned from this show. And of course, you really want knowledge? Buy a copy of my book, Connect the Dots Theory. It's available everywhere. Amazon, it's the easiest place probably to get it, but you can go to Barnes & Noble and get it. And you can also download it. So if you want knowledge, this book has it. Not to mention the 70, 80 pictures in here of things that leave light trails at night that really exist, but they're just outside the vibrational range parameters of human sight. But cameras pick it up easily. You might have these things, creatures. They look like they're small creatures flying around your backyard. You'll never know until you buy my book, read how I did it, and then just do the same things, and you might get some amazing pictures. And kind of like what the previous show had, where the guy was talking about, you know, he knows the ETs follow him around, and he asked them to show up, and they show up. Well, when I was in the times I was taking these pictures where there were things moving about, even though I couldn't see them, some of the amazing shots I got, it seems to be they knew I was out there taking pictures, and they took the trouble to fly in front of the camera and to give me all kinds of amazing flight patterns, as if they wanted to show up, saying, "Look, I'm here. We know what you're doing." So they participated, I believe. And some of the fantastic photos I have in my book attest to that. That some of these creatures were definitely showing off, and they knew what I was doing. And I have plenty of explanations as to what's, in regard to what's shown in the photographs, because it took me years of knowledge seeking to get the info to be able to explain the phenomena, a phenomena that nobody else has ever talked about, as if it didn't even exist. But of course it had to exist all this time, just people weren't aware. That's why it's important to pay attention to what's going on. You know, there's a guy wrote that book, 411 Missing, ex-sheriff or something like that, ex-law enforcement guy, who goes around investigating all the disappearances in the national parks. He should buy a copy of my book, because I have the drawing of what kind of a mechanism could drop down and pick somebody up in a second. Because I almost got taken, but apparently there were some factors involved in the situation that prevented me from being zapped away, but I saw the device, and I didn't have a camera with me, but I have a good memory, and I have good drawing abilities, and there's a great picture of it in my book. But, you know, it requires, opening up your mind and having good visioning abilities to understand what I've drawn. I mean, the drawing is quite clear, but you got to read the pages before and after to gain an understanding of what the drawing represents. And I think I've done a good job of it myself. And everything I'm talking about tonight, it's all important information. Now let me just jump to another subject, because I like to do that. I mean, I could talk for hours on any one particular subject, but, you know, for a radio audience, I think a little variety is good. Now, everybody's probably thinking about, I won't say everybody, but there's a lot of us that are looking forward to the eclipse coming up on Monday. And it's going to be cool, because the TV networks are going to show us what their cameras pick up, so we don't have to waste our time going out to Oregon and getting in a traffic jam and having all kinds of problems, because somewhere along the path as it crosses the United States, professional TV media news cameras are going to pick up an amazing image of the eclipse. Maybe even NASA will get us some pictures, and it'll be out there on TV Monday evening, or when it's happening. Now, it just so happens, You're lucky people if you're listening tonight, because you're going to hear something that nobody ever talks about. The eclipse is taking place on August 21st. Now, it was approximately 83 years ago that the human race was, it was revealed to the human race, to a small group of people, who later put the info in a book, that the universe recognizes August 21st on planet Earth as the day Jesus of Nazareth was born in the area we call Israel today. I believe near the town of Bethlehem, in a manger type situation. So that is the universal official record of his birth date on planet Earth. Of course, we've always thought, we celebrate the birthday of Jesus on December 25th, though everybody who looks into it knows that that's not the real date. That's just the arbitrary date we picked for a lot of different reasons. So now that you've been informed that the real birth of Jesus on earth, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph and Mary, was August 21st. That was the real birth date. And he was born at noon, exactly noon, which we could say is the halfway point between the day, which put him right in the middle of things, which would make sense for somebody special like that. So, whatever your religion is, you must know about this, one of the most famous men of all time, Jesus of Nazareth. When you're watching the eclipse, wish Jesus a happy birthday. He will hear your thoughts or your words, believe me. And while we're on this topic, I'll reveal another interesting point in relation to the revelation of this information to the human race. This large amount of information that was given to a certain group of human beings between 80 and 90 years ago was officially referred to by the celestial beings that communicated the information that this was God's fifth apocryphal revelation to the human race. And it was also identified to us that the teachings of Jesus during his life ministry was the fourth apocryphal revelation to mankind. This is important information. What were apocryphal revelations 1, 2, and 3? Well, you know, I think you should really go out and search that yourself. But either way, when the eclipse is happening, send out a thought, or just verbally say it. Happy birthday, Jesus. And now, we, the human race, have 2 days to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And what person more fitting than to have 2 birthday celebrations than Jesus? Well, that'll give you something to talk about tomorrow, or think about. Now, let me take us all back to love, because love is the most powerful emotion. The Beatles sang about it, "All You Need Is Love." And now let me flip back and just warn everybody. At this point in time here on planet Earth, we need love plus self-protection from the evil that's being worked against us by our own government, the globalists, and hostile extraterrestrials. Oh, and let's not forget the fallen angels, the dark side of the spiritual realms, the devil, yes. We have to be on our guard, because this evil crap that doesn't like us and messes with us all the time, they have no qualms about killing us on the spot. And we as human beings, it's our responsibility to keep ourselves alive and in good health. And they're making it awfully difficult for us. So there's a conflict going on, and we need to use our free will to come out victorious. You know, that's one thing that's never taught in religion, but I teach it to people because I have a great understanding of what's really true, and I know how to connect the dots. That's why this show's called Connect the Dots, because I'm really good at it. The most important gift given to mankind that we should relish, because not everybody gets this gift, is the gift of free will. And the word's out that the true God has determined man shall be free. But you won't stay free for long if you don't protect your free will. And it's, people always ask the question, well, hey, if God's so great, why does he allow all these bad things to happen? Well, there's your explanation. Because he gave you free will. If you've been given free will to do everything for you and save you from every little thing that comes by, would be violating your free will that God, the creator of all that is, gave to the human race, gave to every human. You know, it's our birthright. We've been given free will. And that's why God chooses not to intervene and save us from all this evil, because he gave us the one gift that we can use to save ourselves. And that's why I talk about these things all the time, because that's the proper use of your free will. You don't sit down and allow some evil thing to come up with you and just take your life without making an attempt to save it. You have that responsibility to yourself and to your neighbors. And when we see bad things being done, we need to use that free will and stop in and prevent those bad things from happening any worse than they've already happened. And that's something to think about. So, my friends, coming to the end of the show pretty soon, so you need to use your free will. Maybe by next week, I'll have my CD Baby account hooked up so you could order my music easier. But this has all been a test to see if anybody is willing to take the initiative to mail a check or money order of $10 to get a product, or if anybody is industrious enough to go into my 2016 presidential website and use PayPal to donate the money. But I'm going to try to make it easier. And, but what do I know? I don't know who's listening to this show. Maybe nobody listening to the show even likes music. Or maybe they don't like philosophical folk music or songs that have meaning. But either way, I give you a free song at the end of every show. And eventually I'll come out with the rock and roll party songs. But I'm still trying to push these important songs to listen to because there's meaning to them. They're teaching songs. They have messages. They make good points. They're educational. And they're the best collection of philosophical folk songs put together by anybody who ever walked the face of this earth. Buy it, listen, and call me up and tell me I'm wrong if I'm wrong. And then tell me who's better. I mean, I've listened to all the great philosophical songwriters, and I've listened to their albums. And everybody has a problem when they put out an album. Got a lot of bad songs on it. Well, this one doesn't have any bad songs. 23 great songs. Anyhow, as I call for the engineer, the first thing you're going to hear is the instrumental ending to one of my best rock and roll tunes ever. It'll be coming out before the end of the year with all the other great rock and roll timeless songs I've written and recorded. And followed by that song will be followed by the first song off my CD titled I Gotta Be Somebody. It's an anthem for everybody who wants to be somebody. You know, we all want to be somebody. And it's just a great song. And it's the first of 23 songs on my CD titled Songs Better Than Dylan. And I mean it. Okay, my listener friends, I'm going to do the countdown like I always do it, and then you're going to hear a portion of one song and the whole song of the first song on my CD. Mr. Engineer, let me count it down for you. When I count down to zero, start playing the music. Do you hear me, Mr. Engineer? Here it goes. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Statistic. I don't want to be just a nobody. Gotta be somebody or I won't be satisfied. Gotta be somebody, feel alive. I don't want to be no John Doe. I don't want to grow just to be old. Gotta be somebody or I won't be satisfied. Gotta be somebody, feel alive. Wanna know I was here, took my stand without fear, made it clear to the world my ideas. And all those people that had walked on by now stopped and looked, cause I caught their eye. I don't wanna be nobody's slave. I don't wanna join in my grave. Gotta be somebody or I won't be satisfied. Gotta be somebody, feel alive. All alone, I was here, took my stand without fear, it is clear to the